ladies and gentlemen, one train I'm on. They won't know which way I've gone. When I die, oh, bury me deep down at the end of Old Chestnut Street.
What a fun way to start a show. This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly, and you just heard a group called Spite and Dival. And if you have no idea what I just said, you can be excused, because I had never heard it before. But what's worse is if you see it, you have no idea how to say it, except they kindly give a pronouncer on their website. Spite and Dival, actually the name of a creek, I guess divides Manhattan from...
The Bronx.
The Bronx in New York City. And so, translation, either in spite of the devil, or I guess literally spouting devil in the case of how that creek got its name, something like that?
It's colloquial Dutch from the 1600s. So we've actually asked some real live Dutch people what it means.
there are such things?
Yes, yes, yes. They live in this little country over in Northern Europe. It's cute.
Dutch
with
land.
The hot chocolate, hot chocolate head shops, you know, the whole thing. Very traditional people. So, and they say, well, Dival probably means devil, and the other one, I really have no idea.
So we'll go with whatever we want. But In Spite of the Devil is how this group, based in Yonkers, New York, has chosen to interpret it. They are going to be playing a concert tonight at the Research Park on the University of Illinois campus. That part of the campus happens to be in Champaign off of First Street. And the concert starts at 6:30 with a local duo who call themselves The Diva and The Dude, who are in real life Kathy Harden and Andy Baylor. And then at about 7:30, Spite and Dival will perform for an hour and a half or so, something like that.
That's what they tell
whatever
us.
Whatever you're told. And that's a program of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, also supported by Fox Atkins Development and others as well, and, of course, the University of Illinois. It's really a treat to have you guys in here. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much.
I should say that also coming up live in our studio, and they are live in our studio in case you couldn't figure that out. Also coming up live a little later this hour are going to be some students from the Illinois Summer Youth Music Camp at the University of Illinois. They're in their third of 3 1-week sessions, and we'll be hearing, well, we'll wait and see who we're going to be hearing. I've occasionally been surprised by who they decide to bring in, but we'll be hearing some students coming up also live before their performances on campus tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow morning and afternoon. Let me introduce the band. Would you like to do it, Mark?
Oh, I could do it. Sure. We have Rick Mercaldi playing acoustic guitar today.
Hello.
Beth Kaufman singing.
Hey, guys.
John Neidert on the bass.
I'm John.
We have Lou Geezer today playing the DeLonghi electric kettle cardboard box with brushes.
I want to ask him about that later. Yeah, it's a brand I had never heard of.
It's a pleasure.
We have Efrat Shapira on the violin.
Hello.
And I'm Mark Miller, and I'm playing a bouzouki today.
Well, and that bouzouki is kind of the reason you all became Spite and Dival. At least that's how it all started. That's the story that is told on your website, however.
Yeah, well, the creation myth, yeah. So a long time ago, I used to produce music out in California for video games, which is about as far geographically in the music universe from what we do now. And I had stopped playing for a while, and Beth and I were together, and she saw that I wasn't necessarily all that happy not being a musician. So one night we were out watching David Lindley play, who's a favorite guitar player, and he was playing this crazy thing that looked like a giant mandolin on his lap with a slide, playing reggae music on it, and we were both just fascinated. So
Mark in particular, his eyes lit up. You just could see that it was something that inspired him.
And my devious wife went out and bought one of these and surprised me on my next birthday and said, "Here." And I said, "Thanks," because I had no idea how to play it.
Now what do I do with it?
Yeah, I had been an electronic musician, so I went around looking for simple songs that I could learn how to play this instrument, and found a copy of Rise Up Singing, which is sort of the folk music sing-along Bible from the 60s and 70s. And there were all these great old-time and trad and gospel songs that I knew, and they had two or three chords. So I started learning how to play. And we live in this neighborhood with big old houses, and we would just sit out on the porch playing and singing. And there's a lot of other creative people in the neighborhood, so people would come by and they were like, "Hey, I'm going to go knock on the door, you know, a couple houses down there, there's a fiddle player." And pretty soon there was a pretty active porch jam with beer and barbecue. And
there was another piece of the puzzle, too, which at the same time we were just raising our child. She was pretty much a newborn, a baby at the time. And we both consciously really wanted music to be in the house with her growing up. And that was something that we had become more and more aware of, that we weren't playing. We weren't, you know, really getting into music as much in those years. And it was a conscious decision also on our part to have music in the home, you know, she'd grow up with that. And it's been a really nice thing. She's now 16.
Yeah, so. We don't buy into that whole elitist idea that only like virtuosos should play music. I mean, we started just because we wanted it to be a part of our life, and it kind of took off in unexpected ways from there. And now we're renting 30-foot campers and driving halfway across the country to play gigs on big outdoor stages. So go figure, you know.
And doing little radio shows on public radio.
And doing radio shows on public radio, which is we're very appreciative of.
Does your daughter play anything?
She does. She plays guitar and she sings, and she's starting to write a little bit. And she's actually singing lead on a track on this new record that we're about to come out with, so that's going to be exciting.
I might as well say, since you brought it up, that there's an EP folks can find. It's called Spite and Dival. and it came out about 4 years ago, I guess. Then the second one, New Amsterdam, a couple of years ago. You can find those on CD Baby and elsewhere.
iTunes, Amazon.
Up there. Okay. Yeah. And then the new one that's going to come out in a couple of months will be called Temptation. Where did you find the rest of these guys and girl?
John, we found on a musician dating site. Not for musicians to date other musicians, but musicians.
This is a family
for,
show here.
Musicians looking. Well, it got stranger than that, really. Musicians looking for bands and bands looking for musicians. And
that's where I understated both my weight and my age.
As long as you didn't understate your instrument, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly.
So John was the only, the short version is John was the only bass player in the metro New York area looking for a country band. So when we needed a bass player, we ended up finding John that way. And John brought his friend Rick in. And Rick did a couple of gigs with us. And then pretty much on the last 2 days of recording New Amsterdam, which was coming along as a nice record, very acoustic sounding, little bit of amplified harmonica, but pretty much an acoustic record. And John said, "Hey, why don't you bring Rick in?" And Rick came in with a lap steel guitar and absolutely tore up every song we let him near. And it was like, "Hey, Rick, what do you think?" He's like, "Oh, I think I might be able to do something." And that ended up, the lap steel really ended up defining the sound of the record. Lou's daughter goes to school with our daughter, so we knew each other. That's more old school Spite and Dival. There was a while when the whole band lived in about a stretch, like 4 out of 5 houses in a stretch on the same street. So he lives across, far away, like 2 blocks away across the neighborhood. And Efrat, our fiddle player, we found through a klezmer band in Tennessee called the Tennessee Schmaltz. And say, Beth went out looking, and you know, we traced her down to Tennessee and back, and so
did you actually bring her to New York, or are you still in Tennessee?
No, I was actually already in New York, but she apparently Beth was looking for people that played those different styles and found the group, and from a list of, my name was on a list of New York musicians, but it was the wrong number, right?
Right, it was just mysterious. I couldn't track you down, but I did notice that you had been playing with this Tennessee group, and so I called them to figure all that out.
And my dad's,
lo and behold, you were in New Jersey.
Yep.
Just a hop away.
Well, now that we've got the history, since we don't have you for terribly long, why don't we hear how it all comes together on another tune?
Let's do this one's from that new record. It's called Everything I Am. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Everyone's hanging out.
Everything I Am, which will be on the new CD by the band Spite and Dival, who are going to be playing at the Research Park on the University of Illinois campus tonight. The show starts at 6:30 with The Diva and the Dude, a local duo, and then Spite and Dival will come on at about 7:30. Beth Kaufman-Miller, lead vocalist, with Efrat Shapira on backing vocals. And you didn't play fiddle on that one at all, did you?
Yeah, on the bridge.
Did you play it on that?
Yeah.
How
on,
what was I
this
doing?
This thing going.
Oh, yeah, I guess I heard that. Yeah.
I know sometimes it sounds like something else, but.
No, that's okay. And wow, I'm really enjoying this stuff. I was gonna say digging, but I never say digging.
Oh, say it. Go
but
on.
It works.
You can
it
do
it fits in this case.
You
okay,
can,
I'm,
you can dig
I'm really
us, baby.
Digging this stuff.
You should feel comfortable with us.
Yeah, I do. I do. You know, I'm part of the description, and I haven't seen you guys live, of course, but I've heard a little bit from the recordings, and you describe yourselves as having some traditional jug band energy, which really I could almost hear, you know, somebody blow on the jugs on this one. But how much are you plugged in the shows? I mean, right here, everything's acoustic, and I love it. But you play the same instruments and just stick them in an amplifier?
Well, pretty. The bass, this is an acoustic guitar style bass, but John will go back and forth between this and an electric bass. Rick just got this pretty awesome national acoustic electric.
The Rezo Electric.
Yeah.
It sounds sexy.
Not what he's playing right now.
No, there'll be a little acoustic guitar in the show, but yeah. this thing is great. It's got the acoustic resonator, and then it also has some, you know, an acoustic style pickup and an electric guitar pickup, and it lets a slide really come through. I'm playing the bouzouki, which, of course, is something that you don't want to talk about extensively in the airport security line.
No, I suppose not. Yeah.
Unless you want to get friendly with the fine folks from the TSA. But I'll play a little bit of electric resonator, too. So, but mostly, I would say it's roughly half and half. And our harmonica player plays a lot Chicago style with a bullet mic and a beautiful old Premier amp to get that sort of blues style harmonica, the ghost harmonica player.
Folks are going to have to come to the live show to hear him.
Yeah.
Jim Meggs.
Yeah, Meggs can blow. So.
And then Lou here will actually have drums. Tell me about this this brand of drum that I have not heard of, DeLonghi. DeLonghi. I have a toaster oven. I have a toaster oven of that brand.
I picked it up out of the bus. It sounded good. We do strive for parabolic complexity.
It's a cardboard box.
Just kidding.
It actually sounds pretty good. Seriously.
It's simple is good.
It's also, you know, as is
box.
The case, yeah. Once the volume of the band tends to be driven from the drums.
Right.
So when we do an acoustic set, you know, Lou started playing a full kit, and then we've been slowly working him back. Pretty soon, like today when we were rehearsing outside the hotel, we were like, hey, Lou, maybe you could just go sit on the bus and tap on your iPhone. So we've been slowly working it back, but we, you know,
a remote drum set.
Yeah, and you know, it's good to like steal things, ideas and things from other musicians. I mean, that's pretty much how most music is made. But we did a outdoor festival a week or so ago at Caramore in New York, and you do one amplified set on a stage, and then you do one totally acoustic set out in a field. And the drummer before us was playing Brushes on a guitar case. And it just sounded great. And we were like, drums?
Yeah. Who needs them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, drums really are personal prejudice here, really responsible in a large way for the over-amplification of so many things. Because everybody tries to keep up with the drummer. Mm-hmm. Particularly if then the sound guy decides he's got to amplify the drums
right.
for some...
Yeah,
who
but
knows
it's all
why.
Your fault.
Yeah.
And, you know,
so it's lovely to use a little cardboard box. Well, I want to ask you a little bit about the genesis of the sound or the evolution of the sound maybe coming up, but why don't we hear another example of the sound?
All right. Well, since we're talking a little bit about traditional music, we also do some English-Irish type music. So we're going to do one, and we're going to have Rick sing lead on this one for you.
But he's not listed as a vocalist here.
All right. Well, we're going to have to do a different song then.
I sing a lot of backing. This is my
Yeah, this is where we let him out of his cage. Everyone in the band does a lot of different things. So this is a tune called Rain and Snow, and it's an Irish song, but it's not one of those Irish songs where there's two sisters, one light, one dark. Well, they both love the same guy. The dark one pushes the light one in the river. The light one dies, floats down the river. The instrument maker pulls out the body, makes an instrument that can only play the song. This is not that one.
So. I need to look this one up.
Well, I married me a wife, gave me trouble all my life, ran me out in the cold, rain and snow, rain and snow.
Spite and Dival, live in our studio here on Live and Local. That is the name of the band. The lead singer for this one, Rick Mercaldi, who also playing guitar. And then, as usual, the voice of Beth Kaufman Miller coming in as well with the rest of the band. We'll mention who they are coming up later, but they're going to be playing at the Research Park on the University of Illinois campus this very evening. Our broadcast today on Live and Local is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. So I was going to ask about the genesis of the band, genesis of the sound of the band. I heard, you know, we heard a little bit how it all came together, and I noticed here that, Mark, you were an ethnomusicology major. I mean, you said earlier, you know, your experience musically was in electronic musical creation initially, but also African drums and Native American, South Indian stuff?
That's right. I was very career-minded in college.
Sounds like it, yeah.
I was thinking, you know, for better or worse, back then it was still acceptable as a student to kind of follow your interests rather than some sort of career path. And the school that Beth and I both went to in Connecticut, Wesleyan University, had a great ethnomusicology department. In fact, the reason I decided to go there is I was, you know, not a particularly dedicated or meticulous student, but I was, you know, going around looking at colleges, and I had one question. I would just find the most average-looking bunch of students I could, and I would say, so what's a class that everybody has to take here, you know, everyone wants to take here before they leave? And these two, they looked like, you know, like a frat guy and his girlfriend, and they just looked at me and they said, oh, everyone takes African drumming, or at least African dance, before they leave. And I just looked around and I was like, I think this is the place.
The place to go, yeah.
And there were, I mean, the teachers, I don't know that so much of that influence comes through in what we play, but the teachers coming from those different traditions, I think what comes through strongest is this notion we were talking about before, which is that music is something for everybody. Music is a social activity. It's not we play and you listen, but it should be something community-based that everybody participates in. And they were much more interested, these teachers, not in like, could you play everything perfect, but how do you feel? How did it feel when you played it? And how do you feel? And how do you connect with the people that you're playing with? So I think that's the thing that comes from those studies most in the band, is we spend a fair amount of time together and we play a lot together. And I think what we hope that people hear from the sound is how we interact with each other and how it feels when we are together playing music. And, you know, we try to bring the audience into that feeling as much as possible.
I have to tell you that as somebody who's experiencing you live for the first time, it feels good. I mean, it's so far, it's just feel-good music, you know.
Man,
I'm hopping over here, you know, and thinking, I just wrote down for myself, I'm going to say to my fiance, we got to sign up for those dance classes you've been talking about, because this would be fun to dance to, I would think, if you're a dancing person. But yeah. What about, you know, the you talk about in print here, Facebook and everywhere, the mashing up different sounds, different styles. I mentioned jug band earlier, but
well, there's a lot of we try to focus on American music from like the 1890s through to about the 1970s is about as close as we get to present, and more the vein of music that came up through New Orleans, so that sort of African rhythms and Caribbean rhythms meeting European harmonic structures with a little bit of the, you know, English, Scotch, and Irish tradition coming through Appalachia. But, I mean, we're playing some traditional music now, which is how we like to introduce ourselves. But we write most of the music that we play, and most of the music on the records is music of our own. And we like to bring blues, gospel, old jazz, jug band music. Oh, yes, there's folk music. We like to bring all these things together and make a big stew out of it. And the music comes from all of these traditions.
So it's mostly new music, but coming from older music
That's right.
Older musical inspirations.
Yeah, I would say that's how to put it. We're certainly not trend chasing. We did get lucky a little bit when the Avett Brothers and Mumford & Sons and bands like that all hit. We were able to catch a little lift from that kind of music becoming popular. In fact, you know, we live in Yonkers, and not that far south of us is Brooklyn, New York. And these days, you really can't toss an empty can into the, you can't toss an empty can into the garbage without hitting a hipster with a beard and a banjo. So, and I mean, there are literally people moving from North Carolina and from New Orleans to Brooklyn to get in on this old time music scene that's happening down there. So, you know, it's some good fortune, you know, for us that the trend, it's trending in the direction that we were headed in already.
Well, it's our good fortune to have you here on the radio show. It's a good fortune of the Krannert Center to have found you guys through their search for talent, and they'll be showcasing you tonight on a show on the Research Park at the University of Illinois campus on South First Street that starts at 6:30 with the local duo The Diva and the Dude, who are Kathy Harden and Andy Baylor, and then around 7:30, Spite and Dival will come on. And you'll have a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun here on Live and Local. Why don't you take us out with another tune?
All right. And by the way, we will be coming up with descriptive names for each of us, like the Diva and the Dude, for the show tonight.
I think it's an excellent idea.
Yeah. I'm the miscreant, so.
Mark Miscreant Miller.
I'm the alcoholic dad.
Yeah. A fixture in folk music of every kind, right? All right, we're going to do one more. We're going to take it out. It's called Honey on My Grave. And one of the things we mentioned before is just the social nature of music. So this is a song written by a friend of ours, Abby Gardner. She's in the band Red Molly, who might have come through here at some point.
They have.
So, yeah. So we love them, and this is a song of hers that we've modified beyond her recognition, but we like it. A 1, 2, 3, 4.
And I'll work this bitter ground all of my
Spite and Dival, the band, playing a tune called Honey on My Grave here on Live and Local. They were live in our studio, and they'll be at the Research Park on the University of Illinois campus for a show that starts this evening at 6:30. Support for our show today comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium in Urbana. The Corkscrew's Bouvant Wine Bar features live music this Friday night from 6 p.m. It's Don't Ask, and at 8:30, The Jokers. On Saturday at 6:30, it's Eric Lund and the Jazz Friends Quintet, and at 9 p.m., The Curses. Details are available on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. I'm Kevin Kelly, and next up on the program today, we have the third of our features. Well, I guess we weren't able to feature the first week, so I guess the second of our features this summer of the Illinois Summer Youth Music, or ISYM, camps. This is the end of the third session, which has been going on all week long. It'll culminate in various performances tomorrow morning and early afternoon by the Junior Concert Band, Junior Jazz, Horn Camp, Cello Camp, Junior Piano Camp, Senior Jazz Camp, Junior Symphonic Band, Senior Jazz Part 2, and a composition and electronic music session, Junior Chorus, and Rock Band and Songwriting Camp. So all those things going on, much of them simultaneously. And we have some live performers representing three of those camps on the program today, beginning with pianist from, obviously, the Junior Piano Camp. His name, Vikram Perry. Thanks for coming in. You can say, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Who are you, what teacher have you, or teachers have you been working with this week?
Dr. Alexander.
Reed Alexander.
And Sam Ginger, I think his name is.
Yep. In fact, Sam has sat at that very keyboard a couple of times, I think, to play on this show. What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play a piece called Game of Hypnosis. It's a chance piece, which means it's written in little episodes, and I play them in whatever order I want, except for, and there's a final note that's written in, and I play, so I play the episodes in whatever order I want, and sustain the pedal through the entire thing, and I can't repeat or omit any of them.
A lot of rules.
Yeah.
And who wrote this piece?
Stephen Chatman. He's a Canadian composer.
Okay. Well, let's give a listen. Vikram Perry, live on Live and Local. And that is a newer composition. Any idea when that was written?
Does it say no, but Stephen Chatman is still alive. He was born in 1950, it says on the page.
It says on the page. Well, there you go. Vikram Perry playing that piece. And tell me again the name.
Stephen Chatman?
No, the piece.
Game of Hypnosis.
Game of Hypnosis. What made, did you choose the piece?
No, Dr. Alexander chose it after I told him I liked minor discord and
newer type sounds.
Yeah.
Odd. Oh, that's a good word. Well, it's a good introduction, actually, to our next segment from the ISYM camp, because we have two compositions by students in the composition and electronic music camp happening at ISYM this week. And I guess Who's his first? Oh, Daniel. Daniel Stelzer. Daniel was actually on this radio program not that long ago. Was it earlier in the summer? One of his pieces was being played by the Urbana Pops Orchestra that particular week. So he's getting around. You're getting to be a veteran. What piece are we going to hear? What's it called?
This piece is called The Argent March.
The Argent March?
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
It's an archaic word for the color of silver. And I just liked the word mostly.
So the piece has nothing to do with silver?
Not really. I was having difficulty coming up with a title, and it was a word that I liked, basically.
Pianist here is looking for his music, and he just found it. The pianist, by the way, is, I presume, the director of the composition camp. His name's Stephen Taylor. He's a professor at the University of Illinois School of Music. And this is, I guess, in a couple of parts. I think we probably have time to play the whole thing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Somebody want to introduce the performers?
Yes. My name's Steve Taylor. I'm one of the professors at the University of Illinois, and I'm the director of the composition camp. We have on flute, Ashley Shank, on clarinet, Vincent Gilbert, on violin, Daniel Colbert, on cello, Casey Dahl, who's actually a participant of the cello camp this week, on piano, myself, and our honorary percussionist is the composer Daniel Stelzer.
All right. Argent, what was it, Argent?
The Argent March.
The Argent March. I have to write this down. Live in our studio and Live and Local. Argent March, very tuneful, not like some people's new music. That can sometimes not be so much. Daniel Stelzer, the composer from the Illinois Summer Youth Music Composition Camp. What was? Did you have any style in mind, or did you discuss this at all with? I assume you worked on this with Professor Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had to have the start of a composition before we came to the camp so that we weren't stuck going through the whole week with writer's block, so that we had something to work with. And when I was coming up with the idea, I was thinking I didn't want to follow the style of my previous piece, which was kind of slow and wistful and minor, so I wanted this one to be very bright and major with a strong rhythm.
Well, you certainly succeeded in all of those things. So congratulations. Nicely done, everybody. And we have another student composition coming up in just however long it takes us to change ensembles here on Live and Local. Stay tuned. That's the beginning of a piece called The Achu Lullaby for Flute and Electronics by Stephen Andrew Taylor, performed here by flutist Jonathan Keeble. And I'm presuming that Steve was playing the electronics? Or were those just, do you just push a button and it goes?
You just push a button and it goes.
Yeah, Steve, it's the same Steve Taylor who is has been working with the kids in the composition camp at ISYM this week, and I understand that was your very young son doing the sneezing?
Yeah.
Or not so young?
Oh, he was probably about a month old.
Oh, that's very young at the time. That was a fun piece. Steve is among those contemporary composers who often writes tunes and is often very clever, and I always enjoy hearing the music that I've had a chance to hear. You're listening to Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we have another of the student compositions from ISYM, this one by a young woman named Emma Ginzel.
Hello.
Thank you for coming in. Called In the Dream. Where did you get, what's the inspiration for this piece?
Basically, I was just messing around on the piano in the practice room, and I just kind of started playing it, and I thought it sounded cool, so I worked with it.
That's it? So you're just noodling around tunes?
Yep.
In the dream part, does that mean you put yourself in a trance to make that, or is it just a title that came up after the fact?
It's just kind of a title that I saw fitting, I guess.
So this was, as with Daniel's piece earlier, this is one that you had partly completed before you got to the camp?
No, I started this one about 2 days ago.
Wow. And then did you work with Professor Taylor on this one?
Yes.
And what did he have to say about it?
He was actually really helpful. He helped me in a few places in the B section, and it was a lot of fun working with him.
Okay. Well, let's give a listen. We might stop partway through. I'm just looking at our time, and we have an octet of cellos coming up. We need to make sure they can make the transition in here. So this is for flute, violin, and cello, In the Dream by Emma Ginzel on Live and Local. And there is more to it. And if you'd like to hear the complete work, In the Dream by Emma Ginzel, you can go to hear the various compositions, four of them, I think, the two we heard today, and two more at the performance by students in the Composition Electronic Music Camp at Smith Music Hall in the Recital Hall tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock of many performances from ISYM. They're live on Live and Local. Stay tuned for an octet of cellos from the Cello Camp this week. No doubt you recognize that music. It was, of course, Scott Joplin's The Entertainer, played by the Yale Cellos from Yale University. Of course, Aldo Pariso, their conductor and leader, on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. By way of introduction to our next and final group from the final session of the ISYM program for this summer at the University of Illinois, and these are eight cellists from the cello camp that's been happening this week. They're going to give a performance tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in the basement, room 25 of Smith Music Hall. Lots of other performances happening at the same time at the Krannert Center in the Music Building Auditorium. You can get the complete schedule by going to the School of Music website, which is music.illinois.edu. And their leader, conductor, teacher, Aaron Kaplan, what have you all been doing this week?
We've been having a great week. Amy Flores is also our teacher, so we've been having a week of cello choir and master classes and piano coaching and lessons, and it's been a great time.
Okay, and we have the dance portion from a piece called Invocation and Dance by Joshua Missel. The cellists are Casey Dahl, Amanda Downing, Eugene Keem, Ingrid Reed, Annabelle Rivera, Jake Robinault, Kayla Shaney, and Matthew Schubert.